This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here at the airport, I'm about to board my flight for San Salvador. The goal of this mission is to let the Trump administration, to let the government of El Salvador know that we are going to keep fighting to bring Abrego Garcia home until he returns to his family. I hope to meet with representatives of the government. I hope to have the chance to actually see Kilmar and see what his condition is. But we are going to keep fighting because this is a miscarriage of justice. The Supreme Court has ruled 9-0, that he was illegally taken out of the country and put in a prison in El Salvador. And this is about due process. This is about rule of law. What bullies do is they begin by picking on the most vulnerable. But if we get rid of the rule of law and due process in the United States, it's a short road from there to tyranny.
Did I just hear Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen say that the Trump administration is picking on the most vulnerable in Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the quote Maryland resident? Of course, he's a Maryland senator saying this. Listening to the press conference that was taking place yesterday between the El Salvadoran president and Donald Trump, they sure painted a different picture of who this individual was and where he belongs and should call home. Let's talk to our friend about it. Joy Murdoch joins us once again, a nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and of course, a Fox News contributor. Joy, welcome back. Good to have you here.
And it's great to be with you.
Thank you. What there's a lot of linguistics involved in shaping this Garcia situation. Maryland resident, the El Salvadoran citizen. What is real here and what are the politicians trying to do with it?
Well, the most amazing distinction that the Democrats like to use to describe this Kilmar, well, I see it's Kilmer or Kilmar. I'm not even sure what is the correct spelling of his name. Is it like Kilmar with an A?
I'm looking at Fox. It says K-I-L-M-A-R.
Like Kilmer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's A-R. Anyway, I see different things in different documents. Anyway, Kilmar Armado Abrego Garcia is the full name, quite the mouthful. And he's been described by people like Senator Van Hollen and people in the media as Maryland father. You know, he's like this guy who's, you know, taking his kids to Annapolis to visit the Naval Academy, and then he's rushing off to do soccer and then off to the PTA meeting. It's just amazing. And, you know, all right, he's got kids. Now, would we refer to Joseph Goebbels as a Berlin father? So what? He's got kids. Osama bin Laden had kids. So he has kids. So that somehow makes him a saint. Look, the guy is an illegal alien, which means that he has every reason to be deported just for that, even if all he did is, you know, go to work and go back home and play with his kids. Well, it turns out that he is a member of MS-13. That's according to two different immigration judges. One of them said, quoting here from a legal document, after considering the information provided by both parties, the court concluded that no bond was appropriate in this matter. The court first reasoned that the respondent failed to meet his burden of demonstrating that his release from custody would not pose a danger to others, as the evidence shows that he is a verified member of MS-13. All right. And then there's another legal document that says the same thing, that he is a gang member. He has gang affiliations, and he has a past proven and reliable source of information verifying his gang membership rank and gang name. So you have two different immigration judges saying that he's a gang member of MS-13, and this is obviously the same vicious group that has gone out and killed people. The MS-13 members in Long Island not only killed people, they have a very, very sadistic streak of torturing people, chopping them into pieces with machetes. So this isn't just some guy who's racing home to help his kids with their algebra homework or whatever it is that Van Hollen would actually have you believe. And also remember that one of Senator Van Hollen's constituents was a woman named Rachel Morin, mother of five, and she was murdered by, raped, certainly murdered by an MS-13 member, a same member of the delightful gang that Van Hollen thinks is of no interest. And Senator Van Hollen did not have very much to say after Rachel Morin was murdered by an MS-13 member, but here he is on a plane ready to, quote-unquote, bring him home. This guy is an illegal alien. His home is El Salvador. His home is not the United States. He broke into this country. He has no right to be here. He has a right to be deported, which he has been. He was under deportation orders and was deported, and he's right where he should be, which is back home in El Salvador, not in the United States of America, which is not his country and which is a nation into which he broke as an illegal alien. I'm glad he's gone. I hope he never comes back. I hope he rots in that jail until he dies.
Joy Murdoch speaking with us right now. I can't help but think of the political nature with which the Democrats play their cards, especially when it comes to incarceration and due process and all of that, because I can't help but remember President Joe Biden in many speeches. He almost didn't give a speech without talking about MAGA extremists. He worked very hard to identify a group of American citizens who spoke in a majority in the last election, call them MAGA extremists, make domestic terrorists out of people who cared about what their kids were learning about in school. And then we saw on January 6th the way the Justice Department under Joe Biden and the Democrats decided to detain and put in solitary confinement these people for crimes that, you know, I think the rest of us look at this and we go, why are they getting this treatment? Now you have an MS-13 gang member who's from El Salvador in the United States, and the Republicans decide to deport him, put him in the hands of El Salvador, who puts him in prison. And you've got a senator, one of 100 from Maryland, going there to stand for the people. I just think the Democrats are telling us right now the people they're willing to stand for.
They are. And it's amazing. Look, you know, he could be standing up for parents trying to get their kids educated. He could be standing up for small businessmen and businesswomen who want to see their businesses thrive. He could be standing up for nature and saying, you know, can we clean up the Chesapeake Bay or clean up XYZ Forest? He decides to spend his precious time, and the U.S. Senator has lots of other things on which he can focus, to get on a plane and go down and plead and advocate for a guy who is an illegal alien. We know that. He's an MS-13 gang member. We know that, according to two different immigration judges. He was under deportation order, which means he was supposed to be deported, which he was. We know that as well. And despite all that, Van Hollen and other Democrats, not just Van Hollen, but others, are standing up and hold this guy up as a, you know, a folk hero and a role model. It's astonishing. And this is the same party that is busy, not all of them, but many of them, standing up and defending Luigi Mangione, the alleged killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO here in Manhattan, a few blocks from where I sit right now at Fox News. And they're also defending Carmelo Anthony, the young man who confessed. He said, it's not alleged, he said, quote unquote, I did it. Stuck a knife in the heart of a 17-year-old, very intelligent, apparently about a 3.96 GPA average 17-year-old student in Texas, stuck a knife in his heart. The poor young man bled to death, and he's now in a casket. And people in various Democrats are saying, well, that Austin Metcalf was his name, that he got what he deserved because apparently he touched this guy, Carmelo Anthony, while asking him to leave a private tent at an event where a bunch of other students at Austin Metcalf's school were gathered. Now, maybe you shouldn't have touched him. Maybe you should have said, you know, get your hands off of me. You know, back in the old days, what somebody might do is take a swing at somebody. But what this Carmelo Anthony confessed to have done is to take a knife, stick it in the heart of Austin Metcalf, who bled to death and is now dead. And again, rather than express outrage and disgust at this young man's behavior, you have a lot of Democrats standing up for him. He's raised something like $400,000 on GoFundMe, and people are saying that his treatment of Austin Metcalf, which was in fact fatal, was appropriate, and Austin Metcalf got what he deserved. So what we have now is the Democrat left basically defending an illegal alien gang member, somebody who killed a teenager a couple weeks ago in Texas, and Luigi Mangione, who is accused of assassinating the CEO of UnitedHealthcare, and lots of Democrats defending all three of these people. The Democrat Party's turned into a death cult. It is a clear and present danger to the American people, and the sooner they are extinct and out of business, the better off this entire country will be.
You know, Joy, I think about you're so right when you're talking about, like, who are these people willing to advocate for, to go out on a limb for, to make the headline story of their political cause? And I really, it's a head scratcher to me that if you were trying to push back against Donald Trump's deportation measures, his immigration stances, his border stance, if you really wanted to get to the heartstrings of American voters, is it really the case that a man who is living in Maryland, who's from El Salvador, who's a gang member, who is part of a vicious gang, is that really the best possible case you have to make to the American people that Donald Trump is being very, you know, racist or selective in who he's trying to deport? That doesn't seem like the best foot forward, in my opinion.
Not the best foot forward. Look, there may be some poor little granny who broke into this country and she shouldn't have done that, but maybe she's just been taking care of her grandkids,
right.
Maybe seeing them, and maybe she got swept up and she got sent back to Guatemala, and you bring up the violins and you play them for her and make people cry. Oh my God, Donald J. Trump's a monster. He kicked out this poor grandma. How dare he, you know, send Abuela home? Okay, fine. Maybe you get some political traction with that. But the Democrat Party wants to run up the flagpole an illegal alien member of MS-13, which is a vicious, deadly gang, and say, you know, this is the role model. This is the guy we're going to defend. You know, I wish them luck. The louder they say it, the better. Maybe we should give a free microphone to every Democrat to stand up and say how much they love this guy. And the Democrat Party wants to say that we are the party of illegal alien killer gang members. Great. Go out and say that. Scream it as loudly as possible. Sing it from the rooftops. And may their support go from 21% where it is down to 15, down to 10, down to 0. And have this party finally go the way of the Whigs, the Know-Nothings, and the Confederacy. Move them into the Smithsonian, put them behind plexiglass so we can go visit them as museum exhibits, because that's where they're headed now.
Yeah, they're tripling, they've quadrupled down, and I just feel like the issues that the American people said that they would even be willing to take a chance with Donald Trump, which I think for a lot of people in the middle was a really bold statement to the Democrats. Like, we trust you so little that we'll just roll the dice on Donald Trump in the November election to see how he can get this country back in shape. All the Democrats seem to do is say, we need to change our tactics, but not our message.
Sure seems that way. I mean, you'd think these people, they're not stupid. These people have college degrees. They've got many of them law degrees, MBAs, what have you. They've got some brain cells between their ears, I would think. That somebody there would say, you know what, this is really silly. This is a losing argument. You know, we shouldn't really be defending a member of an organization that is known for killing people and cutting them up into chunks. Let's find a better cause than that. But no, they don't seem to learn. They are unable to change their ways. All we get is more gas pedal going in the wrong direction from them. They can't tap the brakes. They can't do a U-turn. So they're just going more and more rapidly towards a cliff, and I imagine over it, maybe all the way down 1,000 feet into a ravine. That sure looks like the way they're going, and I don't see anything to the contrary.
Well, you know, I think you're right on with, especially the way you have with words, to get straight to the point. The Democrats don't seem to get it. And I can't tell yet if they don't want to get it, if they know it and they're refusing it, or if it just hasn't sunk in yet. But every day that they go by with this type of misled messaging to the American people is a better day for Republicans and the future of this country.